Hi, and welcome to the Data Engineering Podcast, hosted by Cynthia. I'm Jason Gould. I'll be looking after the discussion every week. We'll cover a host of topics like DevOps and tooling, programming languages, and strategies, and all that kind of stuff. Thanks for tuning in. We hope you enjoy it. Hopefully, we'll catch you next time. Hi, welcome to the Data Platform Podcast, episode number 10, I think. This week, we're going to talk about the challenges that businesses have with data and why they have their challenges and how we can sort of help fix them. With me this week, instead of FOMO, I have Davrin, the CEO here at Cynthia, and I have Guillaume from Google. Davrin, do you want to introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Davrin, as Jason already introduced me, CEO of Cynthia. Been in the data business for 15 odd years. For the last 5 years, been engaged with Cynthia's stuff in terms of data engineering and working actually closely with Google for about like 4 out of those 5 years so far.
Cool, thank you. Guillaume?
Hey everyone, my name is Guillaume, I'm based in Stockholm, and I'm running a cloud architecture team for the Nordics. Started Google in 2013, so I think I was one of the first people to kick off Google Cloud Platform in EMEA. So it's been an amazing ride, and prior to that, I was working at Verizon as a solution architect. And that's where I started working with big data and to be more specific, big data security analytics. And I've been involved in different large scale data projects a few years ago, and now focusing on expanding my team and leading my team the best I can in the Nordics.
Cool. And just to be pretty clear here, I mean, Davra mentioned we've been working with Google for about 4 years, and I've known Guillaume for about the same 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
We've worked together quite a lot, and Cynthia and Google worked together quite a lot. So when we look at, we'll move on to the actual content now, not the introductory stuff. When we look at the problems companies are having with data, from a business perspective, you know, what are you guys' thoughts on what those problems are? They're both looking blank, by the way. You guys can see them, but they're just like, what?
I think we were just both wondering who's going to go first.
Yeah, exactly.
interesting question. I think with all of the clients like we've been with throughout these years, we have kind of, I think we recognize the patterns already when it comes to business and using the data. First challenge that all the clients have is unlocking the data. Data is locked inside of the, let's say the core, kind of core business systems, operational transactional systems, which are in most of the cases overloaded. So you can't do much more than it's already had been done, like with data from operational perspective. And this is where companies are kind of turning to cloud, trying to figure out what's next. When you start kind of extracting that core data that you already know you have, moving to the cloud and unlocking the kind of unlimited resources in terms of processing power, storage, memory, etc., you start realizing what you can do with that data apart from your operational stuff. Mm. But one other kind of thing that we've noticed is when you start moving this data, you start also generating new data out of it, creating more business value or new business value haven't been able to do before, and you were actually not kind of incentivized to do so. What we also observed is that people start going back to the the systems that are either collecting data or generating original data. And they start kind of looking in a different way of how to collect more data or actually generate more data out of these systems so they can utilize it into analyzing data later on. That can be for analytical purposes or even operational purposes. Cool. And then the volumes just start increasing. Then you move into the area or into the space where you most of the companies haven't been in, like IoT data, for example. Mm-hmm. You start collecting and ingesting into the cloud vast amounts of data, and then you start getting ideas. Some of these ideas are data-driven, and some of these ideas are business-driven and have been there in the heads of the business people for years, maybe decades, but they were just not able to prove from the data sets that those ideas are valid and they can bring additional value.
Cool. That was a long way of saying yes, they have a problem.
there is a bit of a challenge for data, yeah.
And is this something you then see the same challenges with Google, Guillaume?
We don't see any challenges at Google, only opportunities.
Well said. Marketing people are going to love you.
No, but what we see, I think, is pre-COVID, a few years before COVID, we could see that e-commerce was getting a lot of traction. And I think when COVID started, then it created a surge in e-commerce and also a surge in supply chain and logistic challenges, whether it was scalability or it was how to implement intelligent last mile routing. Because suddenly you have to deliver in a pandemic, suddenly you're delivering a lot more to the home of people, right? So that's one aspect. The other aspect is how do you make sure that you can become extremely good at recommending products to your end users on a website, for example, on your e-commerce site? And that's something that digital natives have been doing for a while. And some of the more traditional companies have been getting better at that. But I think during the last 3 years, they've had to really become extremely good at that in order to differentiate themselves compared to versus their competitors. And all of these types of challenges. Another one is how do you make sure that you transform the customer experience, for example, from a customer service perspective. And mm-hmm. So there, again, during the pandemic, suddenly you have a surge in the number of people that are reaching out to your call center. And all of these challenges, you know, whether it's last mile routing, whether it's recommendations, whether it's improving your call center efficiency and customer satisfaction rate and NPS and so on. For all of that, you can solve all of that to some extent with some kind of AI or machine learning models. And I think by now everybody knows that in order to have good AI models, then you need a lot of data. And you need to prepare that data, clean that data, aggregate the data in order to have the best AI models. And so then it drives data consumption. You want to gather more data points from your consumers, your end users, or enterprises if you're in the B2B space. And that puts pressure then on the data engineering side of the company, even on the data science side of things. And then customers started realizing that the solutions that they have might not scale, might not have the performance that they need, because you need to be able to almost react instantly. You need to be able to provide these recommendations almost in real time. You need to be able to, in a call center, for example, assist an agent, a physical agent, with data from the knowledge base almost in real time as well, and the list goes on. So then you start hammering your systems, right? Whether it's a data warehouse, whether it's a data lake, or whatever the system is, then you're starting to have a lot of concurrent users, And that's where Google Cloud comes into the picture.
Cool. So I just wanted to say, actually, because we see the same use cases. So when Guillaume was talking there, it almost sounds like it's retail. So, but interestingly, we see the same retail issues across our whole customers, because effectively, you COVID especially, you didn't go into the bank anymore. Mm. Your insurance company, you've never gone to your insurance company. It's always been web-based. You know, so if you look at your telecoms company, you're now dealing with these much more in an online perspective than you ever were before. And they're effectively, you know, selling somebody a mortgage or a new telephone or whatever. That's all retail. So understanding your customer there and being able to recommend them new products and everything else is equally as important, I think, right across the entire spectrum. Everybody has a customer, whether that be a business customer or a consumer. So I think it's super important that, you know, everybody sort of looks at this thing. You know, one way to increase your business dramatically is to understand your customer better, for sure. So why do you think, guys, we're in the position we are with? I mean, it can't be that companies are struggling with this stuff purely because there's not enough data engineers in the world. Do we have to have a mindset change within the industry about actually how we collect and consume data? Has that been part of the issue?
Absolutely. Like the mindset is the biggest, I think, kind of thing to consider when you're going into this whole journey, not just the cloud journey, but digital transformation journey in general. There is a lot of questions in the beginning, and I'm not talking about the digital native companies or the companies that are already deep into their cloud and digital transformation journey, but the ones that are starting. There is a lot of companies that haven't started this journey yet and are considering to do so. There are questions around, first of all, security, because, you know, you're moving your data out of your data center to, let's say, unknown cloud place, which is reasonably known. And I think even from when we talk about Google Cloud offering, security is one of the core kind of pillars of Google Cloud. I actually personally believe it can be set up, and it can be even set up in a way that it's more secure than your own data center, because all the threats that you have on that are there impacting your data center are more or less the same threats that will be impacting Google Cloud. But Google Cloud is having like number like hundreds, thousands of customers, and is actually looking into how to protect all of them. So the security-wise, it should be actually better. Well, the part that it is to be considered is data extraction from the on-prem and then data ingestion to the cloud. That should be done in a proper way. I think this is the beginning of your data engineering journey. There are multiple ways of how to secure this, and people are afraid, probably because they have lack of understanding how this whole thing works, on how to properly secure these connections. We know from data engineering side that it can be done. It can be done properly, and it can be, and in all of the cases, all the projects we work in is actually super secure.
So you think then a lot of the stuff that holds back companies in adopting the use of their, or getting better use of their data, is effectively just a mindset?
It is a mindset, because you will usually hear stuff like security and data privacy. In Europe, it will be a lot about GDPR, but it's just kind of, they don't feel comfortable with this, because they're actually letting the data to go out. And then the whole process, you just talked about, everything is going to be more and more digitalized. All the offerings, all the customer behaviors are going to move online rather than in store. I see a lot of opportunities for proper kind of data engineering kind of business there.
Listeners, it's no surprise, as a data engineering company, that our CEO sees a lot of opportunity for data engineering in the world.
What we are doing usually, and I think a lot of other customers are thinking about, is just gradually moving part by part, actually, in a modular way, kind of decoupling the monoliths on-prem, moving parts of these components in the cloud, and then building a set of microservices around them to support this kind of, let's say, new initiatives and new demands from customers. You can't do it on-prem. We all know that all these systems are already overloaded, and especially now in Corona times, it is super hard to get new hardware to actually scale, if it's even possible to scale your on-prem systems.
Cool. And Guillaume, what do you reckon? So Guillaume's going to be super political here and make sure he doesn't say anything that could potentially upset any Google customers. You guys see the same challenges, don't you? I mean, a lot of the sort of onboarding for Google must be actually getting data from on-prem systems.
Absolutely. It takes time to create what we call landing zones. It takes time to explain how we work with data security, compliance, and the different standards and regulations that we have to comply with in Europe and the rest of the world. But we have a framework in order to make sure that it becomes easier for customers to adopt our cloud technology. So of course, yeah, we see a lot of that, and we make sure that we have people that are specialized in security and compliance. We also have done a lot of work on cloud sovereignty, and we look at that in from three different angles. So first one is data sovereignty and data residency, and making sure that you own the keys in order to perform encryption of your data in the cloud. We also look at operational sovereignty and then software sovereignty. So we offer solutions that allow our customers to operate in a disconnected manner if they wish. So we've extended our on-prem cloud or private cloud solutions quite a lot during the last couple of years in order to address this kind of demand. So I think from a security and compliance perspective, we recognize that it takes time, especially in the larger organizations. And then I think something that really has been a challenge is the fact that in the on-prem environments, the data is really siloed, and is it different systems, and you might have a landscape of different ETL tools, different data processing tools, different querying tools and systems. And so as you move to the cloud, in many cases, you're modernizing all of this. And so you're removing a lot of the complexity, you're lowering the cost, and at the same time, you're increasing the performance tremendously, which allows for data democratization, because suddenly it's become a lot cheaper. So you don't need to limit who's going to be able to get access to the data. It's limitless, it's unlimited, data processing and querying capabilities, which means companies now try to make sure that almost any department can access the data. Of course, you need to have governance, data cataloging, and, well-defined access control and identity and access management, but you can pretty much make sure that every team in an organization gets their own pony. So pretty much any team can get access to their own piece of a cloud-based, cloud-native data warehouse. And if they want to start Spark clusters for their own team, they can do that as well. Instead of having one gigantic Spark cluster for their company on-prem or in the cloud, suddenly they can, and they don't have to have a queuing mechanism or a scheduling mechanism. Suddenly, any team can start any data processing or querying or ML type of work, because they get a piece of infrastructure on demand that they can spin up super fast in a matter of seconds. You can spin up a very large cluster, and then you can tear it down once you're done after a couple of hours or a couple of days.
This is something actually we do for a number of our customers, actually, is once a month jobs, for example, that we spin up an entire system to do it, and then almost As soon as it's finished, we tear down the whole thing, and they're not paying them for it for the other 29 days of the month, all that infrastructure. And you bring us on something there too, which regular listeners to the podcast will recognize as Tomo and I's favorite topic of decoupling and the removal of bottlenecks in an organization. And that's one of the things, actually, when I look at the way a lot of this stuff works, is that the ability for, as you mentioned, individual teams can spin up their own environment. They don't need to wait for a centralized team to, you know, and typically it is sometimes months of waiting for an environment, especially if new hardware needs to be procured. So that ability to do this on your own very quickly is for me opening all sorts of new capabilities within companies, especially around the hypothesis route. You know, if you think about how we do, create new tooling and new ways of doing things and everything, we have a hypothesis. Well, sometimes that hypothesis is really expensive to test. And that, for me, is the big thing that cloud brings to us, is the massive reduction in upfront cost of being able to test a hypothesis. Typically, if you looked at the way you would buy stuff, you need to have a really, really good business case to test something if you're going to spend millions of dollars, euros, whatever the currency you have, in order to test that. But now with cloud, you can just go, well, I'll spin the whole thing up, and if my hypothesis doesn't figure out, I can tear the whole thing down and try another one. So for me, that sort of mindset change of how we test stuff, how we improve the business incrementally and ongoing is the biggest change for me. The testing.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. That's what is unlocking innovation, basically. And that's why I think a company like Google has been so successful so far, is because we've been providing a platform internally where anyone can test anything, and then investments are minimal, and you can easily spin up an environment and then tear it down. And so that really allows you to start innovating. And then even when you're testing on live environments, the ability to do A/B testing with the modern CI/CD capabilities, whether it's CI/CD for applications or for data and AI, that's also a game changer.
Yeah, I mean, that for me is the super interesting part. So this then is the thing that fixes it, is being sort of open to taking the first step in the change. I mean, you know, we do see that there is a problem with people working in the data field. The data explosion, if you like, and the creation of all these new data points and new data sets and everything else, we do understand that this can be challenging for companies to find people that can understand all of this stuff. But there are a lot of companies out in the world, including ours, I'll hasten to add, that can help you with that journey. And obviously Google have guys that can also help with all of this stuff, as does everybody else. And that's the next challenge then, is actually taking the first steps and getting on with it, I suppose. They're nodding, by the way.
Yeah.
you just mentioned there something that I've been recently working with a lot. You have a lot of data now in the cloud scattered around, right? And that's the next phase. After you manage to actually unlock the data, you move the data, and you actually start generating new data points, new data sets out of the existing on-prem stuff you had before. And now you are in a position where you actually need to govern all that data. It is a completely new challenge, and I think it's recognized by the industry as well. There are a couple of new paradigms and concepts that have emerged in recent years. One of them, data mesh. We have data mesh, we have data fabric, we have kind of, let's say, traditional data warehousing as well. But one of the concepts, actually paradigms that have emerged is data mesh, which actually addresses this next phase in your journey, digital transformation and cloud journey, which basically says that all this data set needs to be governed in a proper way. And this will give ability to the whole enterprise actually to utilize data points and data products in a proper manner. And they can actually, instead of just browsing around all this uncategorized data, they can start producing value immediately, because the data sets, data points, and data products that are available are recognized, and there is a business description attached to each data product. So it's much more easier actually to use these data products in order to create new business value.
And obviously that the whole process there breaks down the traditional silos that we would look at within an organization, you know, the Conway's Law kind of stuff, to actually share data quickly and easily across the organization by having it published and then available via a catalog, for example. And this is actually something I know that Guillaume is working on with one of their specific customers, is actually the implementation of Data Mesh. I'm sure you're doing it with a lot of customers, but I personally know of one of them. Mm-hmm. So, because obviously Cynthia are involved there as well. So Data Mesh for me is a super exciting thing.
Surely you know two of them.
Two of our joint customers we're working on Data Mesh stuff with.
Yeah, we're super excited about these different data mesh projects that we're working on, and we're trying to bring our own view of what data mesh can be based on our experience of democratizing data within Google. You know, within Google, pretty much anybody can start using SQL and get access to different data sets, as long as you know the right access control is in place. So we're doing a lot of work in this area. We're also doing a lot of work when it comes to using cloud native data warehouses for ML purposes, and making sure that you don't need to be a super advanced data scientist or ML specialist in order to create your own machine learning models. And we do that by making sure that anybody that knows SQL can use our cloud native data warehouse in order to create their own machine learning models. And we call that BigQuery ML, BigQuery machine learning. So that's another way of democratizing data and making sure you can implement a data mesh.
Cool. So we're going to run out of time shortly. We've covered what the problem is. We've covered some of the challenges to addressing the data problems. Obviously, you know, people's innate fear of change, and then we've looked at what the next challenges are going to be. Now I have all my data in the cloud. What do I do with it? Well, data mesh, cataloging, breaking down those silos, decoupling, decentralizing. And that's actually all of the things that a cloud platform brings. Any other comments before we wrap up? Anything anybody wants to say?
Yeah, I think what's awesome to see is that we can enhance the traditional sources of data and data systems that large enterprises have been using so far. For example, SAP and SAP S/4HANA and their. It's really great to see that we can make these systems even more scalable through our solutions. We can help democratize the data that sits in these systems, because we're talking about lots of data, and we can make sure that they scale to petabyte type of scale. And that unlocks a lot of different use cases and possibilities. Whether it's in retail or telco or manufacturing, because these type of ERP systems are used by most companies. So I know you guys are doing some work around that, and we're happy to partner with you in these areas. But that's I think really refreshing to see that cloud native architectures can be then combined with the a bit more traditional ERP systems, and that can then allow you to implement recommendations. It can help you with your call center, as I mentioned, or whether it's, you know, very tricky logistics or last mile routing type of stuff. Mm. So yeah,
cool. Anything, Davorin?
Yeah, I'll just...
He always has something to say, so I'm sure he will.
As a kind of a final thought here. So although we are doing data engineering, which sounds like a bit of a difficult, it is basically software engineering around data. Although our kind of our work is predominantly coding and programming and creating various frameworks, the end result of our work is actually opening the data for the many, for the many to use the data set across the enterprise. And that is something that's going to bring, I think, much more value than just having data in the hands of IT or engineers. Being able, as Guillaume mentioned as well, being able to open these data sets to the business users who might access it either through different tooling reports or even SQL is super important because those are the guys that are going to create new business value out of it.
Well said, guys. Thank you very much, both, for joining us.
Thank you, too.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, it's a bit of pleasure. It's a real change. I normally have Tom out here with his long hair and stuff distracting me. And he fiddles with stuff like you do as well. So. But thanks for listening, guys. We'll see you next time. And thanks you guys for being here.
Thank you. Have a great day.